podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Elaine Coe reporting for AvWeb. We're talking today with Doug Stewart, CFI Designated Pilot Examiner and former Executive Director of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. Could you give us a little background on how the ACS came about and the industry's role in working with the FAA on this?
Way back in May of 2011, SAFE actually held a pilot training reform symposium where we addressed a bunch of issues that we felt needed to be corrected. And one of the projects coming out of that was that we really needed to improve the standards. At that symposium was Van Kearns, who is the manager of AFS 600, the whole division that's in charge with certification and all kinds of things like that, and examiners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He realized at that meeting the importance of bringing industry in to work with the agency to help improve, amongst other things, standards. At the same time, there was a big outcry over the deficiencies that were very evident in the knowledge exam, and thus put together an industry agency group, the original Aviation Rulemaking Committee, that originally was just supposed to, where our original intent was just to address the knowledge exam. It became very quickly evident that one of the problems with the knowledge exam was that there were no standards for it. And in fact, there was nothing that really correlated the knowledge exam with the skills required for the practical test, and perhaps most importantly, nothing that really included risk management. And it was from those early meetings of the Aviation Rulemaking Committee that we realized there was a need to create an integrated, and this is the term that you'll hear over and over and over again, the Airman Certification Standards, is an integrated, holistic way of bringing together knowledge, risk management, and skills. I think many of the listeners will be aware that the practical test standards have always had, or have had for many, many years, these special emphasis items. And these were things that the agency would become aware, we need to be sure that our pilots are aware of these things. So they didn't know how to incorporate it into the test, so they made them as special emphasis items. But not only for instructors and applicants working on it, but for examiners as well, evaluators who were testing the applicants, there was no real guidance on how do we apply these special emphasis items. And the Airman Certification Standards has actually taken these special emphasis items, which for the most part are risk management things, and incorporate them into every task within every area of operation where they're applicable. And if they're not applicable to that task, it's not even mentioned.
What are some of the other big changes in the, let's use a private ACS an example, versus the old PTS?
Well, I think one of the most really important things, and one of the biggest changes, is the fact that there is coding now. If anyone were to look at the Airman Certification Standards, they would see that there is a knowledge portion, which is really the knowledge test and things of that nature. There is the correlation portion, or the consider this, one of the things we need to consider, that's the risk management, and then the actual skills of flying. But with every single element within it, knowledge, risk management, and skills, there is a coding. And it's really not that hard to figure out, but it means for examiners, for instructors, and for the applicants as well, if they fail any individual thing, it relates back to a coding, which in turn relates to a standard. And the applicant, the instructor, and the examiner who might be retesting know exactly what area the applicant was deficient in. And as an example, just this past Saturday, I conducted a private pilot practical test. And actually, the applicant failed in several different areas. In the old system with the practical test standards, as an examiner, I would just put in comments for what areas were failed. And sometimes in a hurry, it wasn't very clear, and the instructor really wouldn't know, why did they fail this? And the applicant might not even know, why did I fail this? Well, when I conducted this test Saturday, I actually went to the ACS, because when this applicant will retest, it will be under the ACS. and I put in the actual codes that were specific to those areas that the applicant failed in. The instructor can now look at this, see the codes, know exactly the things that they have to retrain this applicant for to retest.
So, for example, categories of knowledge or risk management, there's a couple of letters and numbers, PAIAK1, but it actually describes things like currency, regulatory compliance, privileges, and limitations. So it's very specific on somebody fails that area. Then the instructor can look up that code and get the description.
Exactly. And as an examiner, you know, when we operate under the learning statement codes, as an examiner, I have to look at the knowledge test report and see, okay, where was this applicant weak? And some of these codes are so generic and so obscure, I haven't a clue what the applicant really didn't know about. An example, VORs. The learning statement will say VORs, charting, ADF, and something else. How do I know what she missed? Whereas with the Airman Certification Standards, it might come right out. Interpreting radials from a VOR, whatever it might be, I'll know exactly what area the applicant has missed and can test to find out, were you trained or not? You were trained, great, we move on. I don't have to spend 15 minutes digging in to find out what part of VOR they didn't know. I'll know exactly what part, and I can say, did you ask a question that relates to that? Fine, they know it, we move on. It actually allows me as an examiner to conduct a much quicker exam. Because I don't have to go digging. I don't have to go searching. It can decrease the length. Our instructions as evaluators, and some people say, well, why do you use the term evaluator now instead of examiner? Because the reason is that the evaluator might be a chief instructor in a Part 141 school. It could be a designated pilot examiner. It could be an FAA aviation safety inspector. We're all evaluators, and every one of us could actually conduct a practical test. So the guidance for evaluators is that they only have to ask one question from knowledge, one question from skill. That's all. That's all that is required. We certainly have, as evaluators, the opportunity to dig deeper if we feel necessary. And further, if the knowledge test report has indicated that there are several areas within a particular task of an area of operation, we can certainly have to find out that they've been brought up in those areas, quote, shown to be deficient in the knowledge exam. We can certainly ask more questions. But per the regulation, we only have to ask one knowledge, one risk. And if they've done well on their knowledge exam, the test can go so much more quickly. The other thing that we also see is that I know there are many examiners, and myself included, who have been testing using scenario-based testing for a very long time. I've been teaching that way since day one of being an instructor. I've been examining that way from day one as being an examiner. Now, the ACS pretty much mandates that every evaluator will have to create scenarios to test the applicants. What we're not looking for is rote knowledge to be able to answer a question, let's say airspace. Okay, you know, I could ask an applicant now, well, what are the visibility and distance from clouds limits for Class G airspace? And they can spit out by rote, 1 mile clear of clouds. But if I create a scenario where they're on a cross-country flight and the weather's going down and they have to get into perhaps a Class G airspace, and this is what the AWOS is reporting, and then can ask, can you go there? Will it be safe to go there? I'm looking now not only for rote knowledge of 1 mile clear of clouds, I'm looking to find out if this applicant truly understands the ramifications of 1 mile clear of clouds, whether they can apply that knowledge to enter the airspace or not. So it allows us as instructors, as evaluators, and perhaps most importantly, as pilots in training, to understand the why of everything that we do to be safe pilots. And that's what the ACS drives to, more than anything else. Good instructors are going to be teaching the why anyway. Testing is changing. The knowledge test has already changed. Part of the whole ACS process is that the knowledge test will be continually reevaluated to make sure that the questions are valid, that the questions relate back to the codes, which relate to the standards. The standards drive everything. What this changes for the instructor who's only teaching to the rote level, well, that doesn't make for a very safe pilot. Instructors are now going to have to start teaching their clients, their pilots in training, the reasons for why they do things. We'll still have questions that find out whether a pilot can determine takeoff distance. But more importantly, it's the understanding of, do you have the performance to meet that distance? And if you don't, what are you going to do? And so the ACS is going to drive instructors to teach more to a correlation and an application level rather than just rote and understanding. I will point out, though, that the skill elements of the Airman Certification Standards are identical to the practical test standards. Nothing has been changed there. The guidance that has been given to examiners is how we conduct the tests is certainly different. We are now going to have to ask questions that are related to risk management. But if a pilot in training has truly been trained properly, they should be aware of these things anyway. And if an instructor is really giving valid instruction, there's really no big change. We all certainly need stick and rudder skills, and the Airman Certification Standards still mandates those very same stick and rudder skills. And in fact, in some cases, actually increases the stick and rudder skills that they have to have because there's a little more definition through the knowledge and through the risk management.
And one of the biggest change for the knowledge tests is that they're going to be regularly updated.
The questions are being changed. As we speak, new questions are being written. In fact, we have one industry member on a board that reviews the questions. Back in the day that some instructors want to go back to, everything was fine. Why are we changing this? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. What about the questions? Well, what was wrong with the questions? They were fine. They were written by experts. Fact of the matter is, AFS 630, that is responsible for writing the questions that exist in the test bank, there were five people. That was it. Five people who wrote the questions. And if you as an applicant had a problem with the question, if you appealed it, guess who got to review the question? The person who wrote it. Now there is a board, and the board consists not only of, and just real quickly in my head, I think there are 12 people on the board. One of them actually is from industry. It's a gentleman from University of North Dakota who has vast experience in creating test questions, knows what makes a good test question, knows what makes a good distractor, knows what makes a bad question. This group has been reviewing questions on the knowledge test, and this all relates back to the ACS because it goes back to the coding, which sets the standard. They have been reviewing questions. At this point, there have been, I think, close to 1,500 test questions that have been, quote, archived, meaning we'll never see them again because they were not valid questions. There's a whole policy here, and this continual scrubbing of the test questions will go on for the life of the ACS. This is not just a one-shot deal. As technology changes, new questions will be written. As technology changes, old questions will be dropped. So the questions will always be current, and they'll be written by people who are actively involved in the national airspace.
There's also a commercial pilot version of the ACS being developed. When will that go into effect?
Yes, there is a commercial airman certification standards that has been written. It is still being vetted. We are hoping, and there's some other things that get in the way. Again, this is the agency, and they do have other things to do. We're hoping that within 6 months this will happen. But I've got to say, as a member of this process, and I've been involved with it from the very get-go, I've been working on this process for at least 5 years. Way back when we started, I said, I will never see this happen in my lifetime. And as I mentioned earlier on, it has happened. It happened today, okay? The fact that the agency and industry have worked together, actually hand in hand, is unbelievable. Who would have ever thought 5 years ago that this could happen? I used to go to the annual AFS 630 meeting, and we'd complain, and we being industry, about the problems with testing, and management would nod their heads and then go about business as usual. We now have a very enlightened manager of AFS 600 and of AFS 630, Van Currens of 600, Bob Newell of 630. These gentlemen get it. They're willing to work with industry. They listen to industry. And together, industry and agency have put together in just 5 years, hard to believe, a new way of testing that will lead to safer pilots. I'm very satisfied with the result. There certainly had to be some compromise. I've been instructing a long time. I've seen a lot of mistakes. But it has to be consensus, and that's part of the beauty of this whole process, is that it has been a totally consensus-driven process with a lot of expertise. These things are going to move forward, and there are going to be some glitches, and we know that. But if I ask this of anyone who happens to be listening to this, if you see a glitch, if you have a problem, report it. Discuss it. Let's be open about this. Don't just say, oh, this stinks, this is horrible, what's the agency up to? No. Talk about it. We'll work through it. This is a work in progress that can only and will get better.